Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm having a rustle. No, we're not in, are we?
I think we're on, yeah.
Oh, are we on?
We're on, yeah, yeah.
No, we're rustling.
You gave me very mixed messages this week, Ed.
Aww.
Because you...
Come on.
You sent me a long article on a practical guide to quitting your smartphone.
Yeah.
And then for the rest of the week, in rapid succession, you were sending many, many, many articles about Taylor Swift and Donald Trump. And I thought, this is not a man who's quitting his smartphone.
No, I know. What did you think about the quitting your smartphone? I thought it was the best quitting your smartphone article I've read.
Yes, it was about companies who are giving employees flip phones, old-fashioned flip phones.
I thought it was a totally ridiculous article to send to you because you would just be sort of, what are you on about?
Well, I'm happy with my relationship.
Exactly,
with my phone.
Exactly. But what did you think of the articles about Taylor Swift? This is such a bananas story.
It's so mad. So just to bring people up to date on it, if they're not already. So this started as a conspiracy theory on Twitter, right?
Did it start on Twitter?
I think so. And yeah. Then it's been picked up by pundits and commentators on the right in the States. So the theory goes that the playoffs for the Super Bowl have been rigged so that Kansas City reach the final. And this is the team that Taylor Swift's boyfriend, Travis Kelce, is that his name?
Yes.
He plays for. And the theory goes that the Democrats have engineered this so that Taylor Swift can come out at halftime and endorse Biden.
Yeah, I mean, but it is sort of, I've been sort of explaining this to people and it sounds like, oh, well, that's just some mad person sitting in their vest on Twitter. But it really isn't. You know, Vivek Ramaswamy, who is the presidential candidate, said, I wonder who's going to win the Super Bowl next month. And I wonder if there's a major presidential endorsement coming from an artificially propped up couple this fall. Pro-Trump broadcaster Mike Crispy led off on Sunday by claiming that, this is from the New York Times, claiming that the National Football League is rigged in order to spread Democrat propaganda. Calling it now, he wrote, KC wins, goes to Super Bowl, Swift comes out at the halftime show and endorses Joe Biden with Kelce at midfield. Other detractors of Miss Swift among Trump's biggest fans include one of his lawyers, Alina Hubba. It just goes on and on and on. I mean, joking aside, it just makes me think this is kind of really, really, I mean, it's just a very, very bad sign about America, I suppose.
It's really weird, isn't it? Because some of these people are grown-ups. And are they not thinking, you don't think this makes us look a bit insane, do you? You don't think the average voter might think that we've gone absolutely insane?
And then Mr. Ramaswamy said his Super Bowl, again for the New York Times, conjecture was dead serious. What your kind of people call conspiracy theories, I simply call an amalgam of collective incentives hiding in plain sight, he said.
I mean, it's not as catchy as the phrase conspiracy theory.
The White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre stoked speculation still more by invoking the Hatch Act, which prohibits political actions by civil servants, and declined to answer whether Mr. Biden would be appearing with Ms. Swift. Anyway, presumably these people can't, Vivek Ramaswamy can't really believe this, can he?
You wouldn't have thought so. So why do you think Taylor Swift gets under their skin in a way that other celebrities don't?
Well, 279 million Instagram followers.
Well, of course, she's about the biggest star in the world at the moment, but there are plenty
she
of
endorsed,
others.
She endorsed a... In fact, this was on the documentary about her, which I read, the Miss Americana documentary, which is actually rather good. She endorsed in 2018, for the first time, she endorsed two Democrats in Tennessee. And I think that started to drive them a bit mad.
But am I right in thinking at least one of those didn't win?
Correct.
So the Taylor Swift effect might be overstated.
Yeah, but I was hearing on Pod Save America, I mean, she is this, and then I was looking at some polling. There's some polling by something called Echelon Strategies from last year. And you can see why the Republicans are sort of worried, because she's liked by, I mean, well, this is the discussion to have, really, but she's incredibly popular, including among Republicans.
Right. So a lot of the celebrities who endorse Democratic candidates are generally what might be perceived as part of the liberal elite.
Yeah.
Whereas maybe the right see her as one of their own.
Well, I'm not even sure that, but I mean, I think it's just, isn't it just narrow electoral interests, which is that they're worried they're trying to sort of preemptively stop her or nullify her ability to have an effect.
But I'm just really unclear.
You think she's not going to have an effect?
Well, I think the Swifties are a force to be reckoned with, and you don't want to get on the wrong side of them. But I don't know if that translates into people changing their mind they're going to vote.
She did do some voter registration thing, but I didn't think it was sort of massive.
I saw that. So she's got 280 million Instagram followers, and she did a register to vote thing, and 35,000 people, which is so impressive and such a great thing for democracy.
Is that a lot of people, though?
Well, it's on one
doesn't
hand,
seem that. It didn't
well,
seem that
is,
many
this
people.
This is the thing, isn't it? I think it's more people than would be registering to vote on an ordinary day, but by many multiples. But in terms of her following, it's an 8,000th of the people that follow her, so 0.125%.
Well, that's pretty impressive math.
But then also, a lot of those people are already going to be registered to vote anyway, and a lot of them probably aren't going to be US-based.
And there's some Newsweek poll which I think said 18% of people are more likely to vote for a candidate endorsed by Taylor Swift, and then 16% are less likely.
Yeah, well, this is a really interesting thing, isn't it? Because if you ever read articles about the effect of celebrities endorsing politicians, it's it can be a real mixed bag.
I mean, it was 17%. So basically, it's almost exactly the same. You can't really tell that. It's a kind of bad poll, isn't it?
Yeah, I've seen different things. I've seen the thing that can make a difference is that if the famous person is connected with issues. So because, say, for example, George Clooney does a lot of humanitarian work, his opinion, seems, carries more weight. So if you're connected with issues, perhaps, which Taylor Swift, actually, a lot of what she's done rather than endorse particular candidates has been spoken out about issues to do with women.
I mean, do you think if you're a young person in the US, though, and you're not that engaged in politics, maybe you're a non-turnout voter. I mean, maybe you're not trying to decide between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, but you're thinking you're not going to bother. And she says, look, it's really important you do vote for Joe Biden. Could that have an effect?
Yes, you'd have thought so, wouldn't you? That's where it feels the most interesting. What does it do for people who weren't already going to vote? And that's what those 35,000 presumably.
Although that is a low number, as you said. Actually, you know, I heard also on Pod Save America, I do listen to other podcasts, that they were saying that the reason this whole Taylor Swift thing came about, well, part of it, what gave it legs, was that there was a New York Times story about what the Biden re-election plan was, and it mentioned Taylor Swift. And that in turn came because they were interviewing people for some social media role working for Biden, and they had to say to the candidates, please stop saying Biden needs the endorsement of Taylor Swift in your application. We've got that point. because so many people kept saying he just needs the endorsement of Taylor Swift.
But what's interesting is in 2020, she came out for Biden. So she did, I think, an Instagram post.
I think in quite a low-key way, but though.
She had a tray of cookies that she'd baked with Biden 2020.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you sure that's not fake news?
Oh, really?
Well, I don't know. She had a tray of cookies that she'd baked for Biden.
I mean, not for him to eat. I don't think she thought, well, that guy looks like he could do with a bit of sustenance.
That guy looks like
he's going to keel over.
That guy looks like he should eat on camera. I think your cookies, I can't believe, I think you've ended up with some MAGA conspiracy theory, surely.
Are you Googling?
I'm now Googling this.
Taylor Swift Biden cookies.
Oh, no, you're right.
Yeah.
You are right.
So then why aren't they digging into that data?
I see. Not with his face on it, with the logo. Mm. Okay. Sorry, I thought you were saying with his face on it.
No, I don't think she has that level of baking skills, but I don't know.
Apparently she's often incorporated cookies and other baked goods into her public statements. Well, he did win, I suppose.
Yes, but was it down to the cookies? Where's the data on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of weird, isn't it? I think that the weirder thing is the... I mean, honestly, the conspiracy theory thing is just like mega weird.
Yeah.
I mean, just be honest about it, don't you think?
Yes.
I mean, if you have a presidential candidate who endorses this sort of whole, you know.
Yeah, it's strange how quickly weird has
I mean, he also called climate change a hoax, actually, but sorry.
I was saying it's weird how quickly weird has come back. I think after Trump lost the election in 2020, there was a sense of, oh, what just happened? That was weird. Can we just kind of pretend that never happened and carry on as we were before? And that's completely gone out the window again, hasn't it?
Could it happen here? I don't think to this quite the same extent. The scale of the conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I don't know. I always used
to... I mean, maybe that's far too complacent.
Yeah, I never used to think so, because as crazy as the press can be, here, the broadcast media is so tightly regulated that it drags everything back towards the center. But with social media and with, you know, clips going viral that don't have to adhere to any kind of impartiality or fact checking, and it's something we've talked about and looked at a lot, isn't it? It is more worrying, the speed at which these ideas can take hold. I'd also be interested in how often a non-voter or a swing voter's mind is changed by a celebrity endorsement. Because if you look at Hillary's campaign in 2016,
it was
the whole of Hollywood and the whole of the music industry pretty much queued up to endorse her.
So this is a historical question for our listeners. Mm. Is there a famous celebrity endorsement, either here or elsewhere, that has swung an election or made a big difference?
Do you think Kenny Everett made a big difference?
Well, I noticed that there people were talking about the Kenny Everett thing. I mean, no. What he said, bomb Russia and throw away Michael Foot's walking stick, famously.
Yes, yeah. And I don't know if they attribute Thatcher's second term to Kenny Everett.
I think they don't.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what would be interesting to get from people. Any examples of where you think it has worked?
Just, I mean, obviously it doesn't win you the election, but I mean, even made a difference.
Yeah. Have you got an example where it's made a difference to you personally? Or have you got, just for fun, any weird examples of endorsements perhaps gone awry for us? Because it's also a dangerous thing for a celebrity, isn't it? Because you can really go off somebody when you know their beliefs. I mean, look at Morrissey. To the extent that if I ever hear a Smith song, I have to pretend it's someone different. I have to pretend that he was replaced by an imposter at some point in the 90s.
Well, there you go. And people should email us, yeah?
Yeah, so on any of those things, the email address is chat@cheerfulpodcast.com. And you know, you are a Taylor Swift fan.
I am.
I have a little game for you.
Yeah.
Because you're also a fan of another famous Taylor, Dennis Taylor, the snooker player.
Yep.
I'm going to give you some facts and you can tell me whether it's about Taylor Swift or Dennis Taylor.
That's very...
Taylor.
Yeah, good, okay.
Okay. Father was a truck driver from a family of 7 siblings.
Dennis.
Yes. Tickets for one of their shows in 2022 started at £119.
Swift.
No, it's Dennis Taylor. It was like a dinner and... evening with Dennis Taylor at the Withington Golf Club. But there was a 3-course meal included and a photo with him.
This is such a good quiz. Yeah, go on. One out of two.
Posted a social media photo of their best friend beating them at pool in 2014.
Ooh, now this could be a trick question, but I think it's Dennis.
It's Taylor Swift.
Oh, no. Yeah. Okay, keep going.
Their debut single reached number 6 in the UK charts.
Dennis.
Yes, with Snooka Loopy. Whereas Taylor Swift's first single didn't chart here, and the next one only got to number 51.
This is such a good quiz, honestly. You deserve massive points for this quiz.
All right, I'll just finish off with, I've got 3 tweets here. You can tell me if you think they're by Dennis Taylor or Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Great to catch up with Paul Nicholas, Lionel Blair and Sheila Ferguson.
Dennis.
Yeah. Apparently, my only way of dealing with a remote control that isn't working right now is to bang it on the table and scream, come on!
Dennis.
No, it's Taylor Swift.
Oh, no. Is it 3 out of 6? Yeah. This is the big feather I get over 50%.
Yeah,
this
is the last one. Yeah. Someone using my account. I have nothing to do with any crypto investments. Sorry about that.
Swift.
No, that was Dennis Taylor, whose account was hacked and people were posting about tokens.
Such a good quiz. Honestly, you deserve massive points for that quiz. That's what your best quiz ever.
Thank you so much. Do you think Biden should be chasing the Dennis Taylor endorsement?
Definitely. Snooka Loopy nuts a wee.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, we've got some chatteroos, yeah?
Yes, and the email address, as I said before, is chats@cheerfulpodcast.com. This one comes from the magnificently named Kings Furneaux.
Do you think that's his real name?
Well, I've got something slightly embarrassing to admit here.
You know him?
No, I don't know him, but no. I was so intrigued by the name, I Googled him and I found a Facebook account. So, yes, I think it is.
Ooh, okay, that's a bit creepy.
I know it's creepy.
Yeah, okay.
It says, "Dearest Jeff and Ed, the order is to boost Jeff's self-confidence." I can't tell you how much I appreciate that, Kings. But how is your self-confidence doing as a result, Ed?
It's suffering. Yep.
Please, 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 would you do your level best to comply with my wish for you to have a chatteroo with Robert Llewellyn? You could talk to him about his time as Crichton from Red Dwarf, but I think you'd be more interested in his work, more than a decade on YouTube, posting videos and talking originally about electric cars, and now it's all about sustainable energy.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm aware of, you know, obviously from Red Dwarf, but I'm aware that he's been really good on this stuff for years and years. King says he's inspirational, a great character, and would make for an entertaining episode. He also asks, is it more likely to happen if I mention cold water swimming, Yes. Enforced selfies. Oh, yes. Or hamsters.
Oh.
Did you know that hamsters are banned in Hawaii, apparently?
I mean, can that really be true?
I don't know. We need an Ed Google here, don't we?
Jeff is also allowed to Google.
I know, but we like hearing the tip-tap-tap. Here we go. It's illegal to own pet hamsters in Hawaii. The climate is similar to hamsters' natural desert habitat, and agricultural and environmental officials have expressed concern that released or escaped hamsters could establish wild colonies and damage crops and native plants and animals.
I mean, I feel this is a moment to talk about Flacco the owl.
Yes, this was an article you sent me this week.
This is also for the New York Times. I do read other publications, but honestly, this is about Flacco the owl, who escaped from a New York zoo and has been at large for a year. And they were really worried that Flacco wouldn't make it, but he's surviving. He spent a large amount of time in Central Park. He seems to have moved on. He seems to have regurgitated some rat fur, which is a good sign. Because it shows that he ate a rat and is able to operate on his own.
I mean, there's plenty of them. There's no scarcity of rats.
Exactly. The official rat catcher, Rat Czar, I think as they're known, was quoted in the New York Times. What is it about me that I really like these stories?
I don't know. It's a real inspiring story, isn't it? Is it Flacco or Flacco?
I see. You're saying my pronunciation is wrong.
Oh, I've got no idea. What did you call him?
No, I called him Flacco, but I think you're probably right. It's Flacco.
I've got no idea. I mean,
it was one C, isn't it?
But it's an inspiring story of him breaking for freedom, and now he's living this wonderful life that many of us would like on the Isle of Manhattan, taking in all its delights.
I mean, there's a very intriguing picture of him sort of sitting on the sidewalk, as the Americans would call it, next to a small cage with a policeman standing by him. I don't know whether you've seen this in the story. And I guess that was the time when they were trying to take him back to his home, but they've sort of gave up on that.
I think it's
goodness, there's a picture of him with a rat.
Is it captioned, "What happens next?"
Well, I guess. For a while, zoo workers tried to lure Flacco back using traps baited with dead rats, but he was unmoved. He learned to hunt on his own. The proof, a pellet of undigested rat fur and bone, he coughed up one day. Central Park is indeed, as you said, Jeff, a target-rich environment.
Well, if you can make it there. Nothing?
The sex therapist, Dr. Ruth Westheimer, who was recently appointed as New York's loneliness ambassador, I mean, that is an extraordinary sentence, lamented Flacco's fate. Flacco is limited in his choices by Mother Nature, she said in an email, though he's not giving up flying all over New York to find companionship. This is because there are no female Eurasian eagle owls in New York, and so he has no potential mates. That's why, presumably, they consulted the sex therapist.
Do you think we should take a Eurasian owl, female owl, over there and release that?
Isn't that a bit of a dilemma?
Because then you might have an owl explosion.
Actually, I just hate to sort of be a downer here, but the streets pose an acute threat for Flacco, who, with all of the cars and trucks, Gladys, a female Eurasian eagle owl who escaped from a Minnesota zoo in 2022, died a few weeks later after she was apparently hit by a vehicle. Well, there you go.
Flacco, we salute you.
Yeah, we do. Now.
Now, this comes from Joanne Webster. It's just a question, but I thought it was worth answering. It says, "Hi, Jeff and Ed. Do either of you ever send handwritten letters? If you do, why? If not, why not? Do you miss getting them?"
I do, but only really condolence letters.
I would like to. I used to, in my early 20s, be quite a prolific letter writer. But, you know, life gets in the way, email and all that, text messages. But I do like sending and receiving letters. I always send a postcard when I go on holiday.
Really?
Yeah. Although I've got a slight concern that it looks like you're showing off. Like, look at me, I'm on holiday.
I'm interested that people still send postcards.
I think it's a nice thing to do. But I do worry about it looking ostentatious.
No, I don't think so.
Next.
Lily Louise, hi Ed and Jeff. As the subject line suggests, big thoughts on kindness, that is the subject line. I've had a lot of thoughts about kindness, and my colleagues are sick and tired of hearing this. I suspect it will eventually become an essay or a TED talk. Now, my thesis statement, kind is not the same thing as nice. Being nice to someone makes them feel good in the moment. Being kind shows you have their best interests at heart. In mind, sorry. This is true both in work circumstances and in personal relationships. A situationship is a great example where it might feel nice, but it's not very kind to anyone involved. What's a situationship?
I don't know, actually.
Likewise, holding back important feedback because it will be hard to receive doesn't actually help anyone. It's much kinder to give the difficult feedback and then to check how the person is feeling.
Oh, here we go. A situationship is a romantic or sexual relationship that is not considered to be formal or established. So it's like, a, I guess, a no-strings-attached thing, non-exclusive thing.
Are we in a situationship?
We definitely meet some of the criteria, but not
but only much. Some of them. I've never heard that used.
No, I haven't either.
Wow, I've learned a new word. I mean, do we agree with this email? That's the thing.
Well, is Lily saying some version of you've got to be cruel to be kind sometimes? In that, you know, you might have to deliver information or feedback or something in the moment that won't feel good, but it's valuable in the long run.
Okay, but I don't think it's being kind.
So do you think it's kinder to string somebody along then?
No, but I just don't think it's being kind. It's like saying you can deliver difficult information to somebody and make them happy. Well, no, you're not making them happy, but it's value. Just isn't that right?
Yeah, but I'm a bit worried now that you've just ruined Lily's TED talk.
Well, it's an interesting discussion.
Yeah.
I mean, cruel to be kind is a phrase. I just don't think it's kind, is it? Or at least not in the meaning of kind that I would think about.
So is that to say some things can't be a kindness?
What do you mean some things?
So I'm saying, so say, for example, you're delivering some bad work news.
Well, that's not going to be kindness, no.
But this is the sort of situation I think Lily's talking about, isn't it? Where you need to kind of be honest with someone.
Well, it's honest.
And
it's
then that,
the right
and then
thing
that
to do.
Information is going to be useful to them in the future. So inherently that news or that criticism or whatever it is isn't the kindness. But the way you deliver it can be approached with kindness. Without,
oh, that's interesting.
Without being insincere or misleading.
I'm just looking at what the actual dictionary definition of kind is. Generous, helpful, and thinking about other people's feelings.
Hmm.
Well, I suppose you could be thinking about other people's feelings in the way you're... So you delivered a difficult message in a kind way. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I think.
Thought-provoking email.
Well, if the TED Talk happens, Lily, send us a link and we'll
yeah, and if anyone
further.
Else got any further thoughts about kindness, let us know. Are you going to do Lorna Rousen?
Yes, Lorna says, hello, Chatteroom team.
That's
hi.
Just me. That's yes, just me and Jeff.
We're the team. It's a small team.
Yeah.
Can two people be a team? Three is a crowd.
Two can definitely be a team.
I was just listening to Chatteroom number 9 and I felt inspired, compelled even, to email in to say that the book swapping, printing out labels website, I think Jeff was talking about, was called Book Crossing. Had a couple of other people get in touch about this as well. And she says it still exists. So what it is you print out a label and put it in one of the books you leave somewhere, and the label's got a number on it. So the person who finds the book then logs it, and it's described on their website as the world's biggest library. So you can see where this book that you've released into the wild, you can see where it travels, the journey
that's
it goes on.
That's such a good idea. I'm just looking, I'm going to do this.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. I remember seeing it. I mean, it must be 20 years ago. It was when the internet was perhaps a slightly nicer place.
So what happens? You leave it on a park bench or something, because there's a picture of a bench.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens?
And inside you've put a label.
How do people know? How do people find the label?
Well, it's just there, you know. I guess you open the front page and there it is on the on the title page. And
what does it say, that label?
And
1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 5, 6 or something?
So something like, this book has been left by Book Crossing with the world's biggest library. Log this number to let us know where you found it. Or something like that.
Yeah, so then they take it and what happens then?
Yeah, then they read the book. And then when they're finished with it, they leave it somewhere else.
Ah.
Nice, right?
Okay, maybe, okay, both you and I.
Yes.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
And next week, we should tell people where we left it.
And you're not to use this as an excuse to get rid of unsold copies of your book.
Well, I was about to say, you read my mind. I mean, clearly that would be a good thing to do. Gosh, I mean, I'm now...
Oh, maybe you are. It's good.
No, I think I can't do that. Then I'd be upset if it got passed on too quickly. is the objective to get it as far and wide as possible?
I think so. It's sort of, I think the big objective is to fill the world with books and connect people in the process of doing so.
Can I just tell you something? It's so funny that we should have having this conversation, because I wasn't going to mention this, but I'm now going to mention it. And it's inter alia. It's about David Runciman, but only inter alia. So David Runciman did a really good essay on Virginia Woolf, A Room of One's Own. the book. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, I've never read Room of One's Own. Anyway, I was at my mum's today and I was looking for something else. And I suddenly discovered a copy of A Room of One's Own by Virginia Woolf. And what does it say inside it? And this is an interesting sort of little story I'll tell you as to why I'm mentioning this. October 1929, so it's 95 years old, this book, and it's signed Ruth Dalton. Ruth Dalton was the wife of Hugh Dalton, who was Chancellor of the Exchequer.
Uh-huh.
And my mother came over to Britain as a refugee, and for reasons I don't fully know, Ruth Dalton sort of adopted her as a somebody without any parents here and so on. And they became incredibly close until the end of Ruth Dalton's life.
Wow.
So it's a sort of, I felt quite sort of emotional actually. Suddenly, it was in a drawer without any other books in it. Anyway, there you go.
Yeah.
Funny old story.
I love it if I ever buy a secondhand book. And
I know.
There's something jotted into it or people have scribbled in the margins.
It's also because I've been wanting to read A Room of One's Own ever since the Runciman essay.
Yeah.
And I've been thinking, I must get A Room of One's Own. And so here it is.
Yeah. I just wanted to also mention Zach Karimji and Claire Nurk, who emailed to tell me about their RSPB Great Garden Birdwatch experiences, which are both very different to mine. Zach says, I was introduced to it for the first time by my partner, and we spent a hungover hour on Sunday morning watching birds with a sofa we put in front of the back door. We saw so many birds in the garden, it felt like they were putting on a show. It made me feel a lot more connected to nature and gave me a glimpse of the unseen natural world all around us, even in an urban area. And Claire wrote, literally on the first beat of the first minute of the counting hour, a sparrowhawk landed in the garden and frightened everything else away. I did recount a few hours later once they got over the fright. But how about that for timing? She said that I need to watch out for raptors.
But you had no birds, though.
No birds, but maybe a sparrowhawk had descended just before I looked out the window. Or more likely a cat.
I haven't confessed this to you, but because it happened some time ago. But I did have a slightly strange incident. I've had it happen twice now in the ponds where some kind of gull or duck started chasing me. You could normally swim past the ducks and they don't pay any attention to you. Honestly, this duck was quite aggressive. And it was very strange because I would swim away from the duck and I'd look behind me and it was following me. And then I'd stop and look around and it would stop as if it was like nothing was happening and look sort of innocent. And then I would carry on swimming. Do you think I'm best paranoia?
Well, I'll tell you what I do think is thank God that there's nobody with camera phones in those ponds.
What, you think it would be like me being chased by the duck?
What do you think if there's video circulating of you being chased by a duck?
It was a highly aggressive duck.
Oh, right, yeah.
Anyway, if our listeners have any stories of aggressive birds.
Yes.
Geese can be quite aggressive, can't they?
Oh, yeah, and swans will have your arm off.
No, that's an exaggeration.
I once chased a pigeon out of a branch of Gale's Bakery, and I was very briefly a hero.
I thought you were going to say off a branch. I was thinking it was like literally a branch.
No. I took command of the situation. And very, very briefly, I commanded a lot of respect in that bakery.
Did you make the local paper?
No, not that much respect.
Right, I think that's quite enough, don't you think?
Yeah, I do. The email address, as mentioned before, is chat@cheerfulpodcast.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Aggressive birds, acts of kindness, notable celebrities.
Yeah, things you've seen scrawled in secondhand books.
Whether you're all going to take part in book crossing. Are we serious about this book crossing thing?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, but do I have to do it by next week?
Yeah, I don't think you need to do much apart from just leave a book somewhere.
Yeah, okay, that was just actually a rope-a-dope question. How are you enjoying Shrinking?
I haven't watched it yet. But sorry. But Curb Your Enthusiasm's back tomorrow.
Yes.
The final series.
And is that in the UK as
yes,
well?
Yes, it starts in the US tonight.
Do they bring over a videotape like they did with That Who Shot JR?
Exactly that, yeah.
That's because, how it works, isn't it?
Yeah, they've got somebody with a briefcase handcuffed to them.
Yeah.
All right, I'll see you next week.
Cheers.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with five different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1, only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.